The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. You're good to go. Twitter's at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at degenerates 975. You can text the show. You can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You missed the first hour? Well, you missed some really good stuff. A little baseball talk. A little, we alluded to some soccer talk, which we will do at 5:30 with Glenn Davis. How about that?
Works for me.
Yeah. Because I
don't understand exactly what's going on, as I've been told, I'm stupid when it comes to soccer, which I don't disagree with, but you don't have to be mean about it.
No, they do have to be mean. That's the problem with everything. And did have a hockey play for the people tonight, despite my horrible weekend. Ottawa-Calgary over 6. So there you go. That's the last time I'm repeating it, so if you missed it that time, sorry. All right, you had something you wanted to get to.
Yeah, I read an article today, and basically always now, everything that's written has some sort of an angle that is either race-driven or sex-driven or something. Like, there's got to be a reason why people would feel this way. This guy, I've never heard of this guy, to be honest. This guy, Karan J. Phillips, on Twitter.com. He is at Karan J. Phillips. He's got a blue check mark. He's got 7,600 followers. He's a senior writer at Deadspin.
Oh, they still have writers at Deadspin?
Apparently so. Mm. He used to work at the New York Daily News. But he wrote a story, and it says, basically, if Woj's report is true, and I believe that it is, Brad Stevens was offered by Indiana 7 years at $70 million. And Brad Stevens wasn't interested, which, okay. Whatever you think of that, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for Brad Stevens. I think he's one of the best basketball coaches in the world. Like, not college or NBA. Like, I think he's a brilliant, brilliant coach. I think what he accomplished getting Butler to back-to-back Final Fours and include, I mean, listen, he didn't win a championship, but taking a school like Butler to back-to-back Final Fours, taking them to a championship game, is one of the most incredible college basketball achievements that you can have without winning a title. Because there was no reason they should have been there,
right,
except for Brad Stevens.
Right.
And Brad Stevens, he's been good in the NBA, probably not great. He's been to the conference finals 3 times and lost all 3 times. But he's got, in a 7-year career, 37 playoff wins. It ain't bad.
No, in a league where most teams are really impatient, for him to stick around and do that is pretty good. And he obviously likes coaching in the NBA.
And listen, head coach of the Boston Celtics, if you're a basketball junkie, it's one pretty, of those, yeah, like,
it's up there.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the better jobs you dream of when you're a kid.
It's got to be certainly top three in the NBA.
Well,
at worst.
And the Hoosiers ended up hiring Mike Woodson,
yeah,
for a 6-year deal that will pay him $18 million in total. And this guy's saying what a slap in the face it is to Mike Woodson that he was offered $52 million less than Brad Stevens.
Oh, it's,
he says, Woodson should be furious. His alma mater made it clear that not only was he their second or third choice, but they knew they could get him for cheap. It gets even worse when you realize that Stevens never entertained the idea of taking the job, according to Woj. I don't know. And they said the disrespect increases when you compare Woodson's and Stevens' resumes, because while many believe that Stevens is a better coach than Woodson, it's not as if there's a huge margin between the two, if there is one at all. What?
Okay. Give me his explanation for that.
When it comes to playoff success, Stevens has an edge, having reached the conference finals three times, compared to Woodson's three second-round playoff exits. Okay, you think that's the tiebreaker? However, 55 and 53 are the highest win totals that Stevens has achieved during the regular season. Those numbers are almost identical to the 54 and 53 win seasons that are Woodson's regular season high. The college ranks are where Stevens has the edge, as it's an area where Woodson has no experience. Oh, well, that's another tiebreaker. A guy who went to consecutive Final Fours has, and the other guy's never coached college basketball. This is a college basketball job. And, of course, Woodson said, to me, basketball is basketball. But, listen, Brad Stevens taking Butler to back-to-back national championship games, like I said, it's not winning a championship, but it's a hell of an achievement. Winning 37 playoff games in 7 years versus a guy who's won 18 playoff games in 9 years, that's a pretty big difference.
Oh no, that's close, AJ, according to this Kieran guy.
But he says he hasn't won anything. So, but two guys, neither one of them has won anything. So basically they're the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a tie.
And, so now it's a slap in the face that they offered this white guy, $70 million, but not Mike Woodson. Listen, Mike Woodson was an assistant coach for the New York Knicks who fired him as their head coach because he wasn't good. Brad Stevens is the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Why would you offer them the same amount of money to coach your team? That makes no sense, right?
None whatsoever.
Like, let's say you have a $100 million budget, and you're going to go, like, you're gonna buy your dream car, and your dream car is this one particular, it was the car that David Hasselhoff drove in Knight Rider. It was Kit. That's your dream car.
Does a computer come with it?
It's legit. It's awesome. The actual car. It okay. Talks.
I'm in.
I mean, it does everything you want it to do, and you're willing to pay $100 million for this car. And then David Hasselhoff says, not for sale. What? $100 million? He's like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. Well, if that's your dream car, do you go pay $100 million for a Honda Civic? No.
Does it have the computer?
No, like, it doesn't have anything. Oh, well, it doesn't even have satellite radio. It's got a bunch of miles on the odometer, and it's
manual windows and locks.
Yeah, you got to roll the window up by hand. It doesn't have the
keyless
to
entry.
Unlock it. You have to put your key in and turn it. Like,
yeah, and it was the second car in the garage. It wasn't even the best car that they had.
Why would you pay? Why would there even be a discussion about? Well, if this was our budget for the coach that we really wanted, we should probably offer our next choice close to the same thing. No. Mike Woodson would have taken this job for $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Because Mike Woodson is trying to be a reclamation project. And it's all his alma mater. Like, and let's face it, being the head coach at Indiana, however far Indiana's fallen, is a bigger deal than being an assistant coach with the New York Knicks. He would have taken the job. So why? Why would you not?
Well, first off, and again, this is, I don't know who this person is, but it's obviously somebody who's going for web hits and reaction, which is what he's getting because he's trying to make it a race thing. No question. But the reality is supply and demand. And Brad Stevens is in demand. Remember when the UT job opened, I even mentioned, what about a guy like Brad Stevens? Would you go after him? At least take a shot, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to come back to college. And I'm sure Indiana thought the same thing. Maybe he wants to come back to college. And he might have responded and said, well, what would we be talking about? And then they might have thrown that number out there. Or they might have just told a source that, yeah, we were willing to offer this, but he didn't want to do it. How is that a slap in the face to the guy who just got the head coaching job at Indiana at still one of the premier names in college basketball, and who was an assistant coach who wasn't in demand?
And it says,
if Brad Stevens doesn't go to Indiana and he's on the market, how many other offers does he have in the NBA and in college basketball?
Maybe not every offer in the NBA, because the shine is off of him a little bit in the NBA.
Yeah.
But there are very few college programs
you know what? Love Kelvin Sampson, but
yeah, you get Brad Stevens.
It's like, thanks, Kelvin. It was fun.
Yeah.
Love you. Almost every program in the country would take the guy.
Well, also bring up the fact that I don't think they have the same agent. So maybe Mike Woodson's agent just isn't as good at driving up the price as Brad Stevens.
Well, that's what he says. He says, Woodson needs to find himself a better agent, because there's no way the last coach that won a playoff series for the Knicks deserves to be valued $52 million less than a guy that's never been able to get over the hump. I also hate the way he just keeps underselling Brad Stevens' accomplishments.
It's because he's white, AJ. That's what it is.
It's very frustrating to me. And I don't think if you ask anyone, is Mike Woodson a quarter of the coach that Brad Stevens is? If you find anyone to say yes, I disagree with them. Like, Mike Woodson is a suit and a body. And for Indiana, he means something because he played there and had a very successful career there. But it's not like that makes him a better coach. I don't know that Mike Woodson's name is ringing out at the table, like when the recruiters are coming over. Hey, you get to play for Mike Woodson. He's an Indiana legend. Who?
Yeah,
is that the guy that won four games with the Hawks one year? I remember that guy.
The thing is, it just goes back to simple supply and demand. We talked about how many places would hire Brad Stevens. No one else was beating down Mike Woodson's door. There were a lot of people in Indiana weren't happy with the hire. And it doesn't matter what you pay him. So, you know what? If he does a great job, he'll make more money.
Yep. And yes, Brad Stevens has the luxury of passing, because Brad Stevens also has a really good job already.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lure him away from that really good job, you had to go pretty wild. The job you're offering is already better than the job that Mike Woodson had, so you didn't have to go to the moon for him. That's common sense.
Somebody asked, what, North Carolina have hired Stevens over Hubert Davis?
Yes.
Stevens was interested. In a heartbeat.
Yes.
Yes.
Texas would have hired Brad Stevens over Chris Beard.
Yep.
I don't care that Chris Beard went to Texas. Brad Stevens is still, in college circles, certainly very, very highly regarded. He had his choice of jobs when he left Butler.
And this was one he wanted.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame him for. So, yeah, there's almost any name you can come up with, the school would take him over that guy. Almost any name.
Yeah. And someone says, Kelvin Sampson would win at the NBA level just like Tibbs. Well, Kelvin Sampson's had opportunities.
Yeah. And guess what? Where he is now and what he's built, UH is a better job than the Rockets. It's a better job than the Orlando Magic. And they're the college jobs that you build up, and what Drew's done at Baylor. Baylor's a better job than half the NBA right now. And that's because coaches can go there and have success and build something up. And as opposed to the NBA, where you go and maybe you get a top five pick and get a guy you can build around, and it'll take 5 years. The good jobs in the NBA, there's not that many of them. There really isn't. All right, guys, there's only one really real champion when it comes to breaks, and that's newbreaks.com. NUBRAKES.com. You mentioned ESPN, you're going to get 10% off your service. They're better than even Brad Stevens. And the reason is because they'll come to you. And there's no reason right now to be going and sitting in a dealership or sitting at the shop when they're going to come to your house, or they'll come to your work, wherever you need them to do it, and they're going to take care of you. They get 20 to 50% more affordable than shops and dealers, and they're backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. And everyone who's used them says the same thing. They were quick. They were friendly. They were extremely affordable. And I love the experience. Super nice and quick. And we get that all the time. So if you want to send them to somebody in your family who needs it done, like your mother or your dad or someone like that, just go to NUBRAKES.com. Mention ESPN to get 10% off newbrakes.com.
It's fine. Yeah, that's what they say about babe. You know that them bitches don't play about babe. Baby should go run for president. Look what God did. Took a time with me.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So apparently Sterling Brown got assaulted last night?
What?
I just got a press release from the Rockets. Last night, Sterling Brown was the victim of an assault. He had no prior knowledge of or interaction with the assailants. He suffered facial lacerations, but will make a full recovery. He's not playing tonight because of his prior knee injury.
Damn.
That's weird. All right, Deshaun Watson. Rusty Harden basically says all 22 of the women are lying.
Is that exactly what he's saying?
Yes. He basically said, if you're asking me if the 22 women are lying, the answer is yes.
Okay.
So he did say that. And their response was they shot holes in a few of the women's stories, which, I mean, some of them, have to admit, have been kind of...
Sure. But also, no matter what, it doesn't change. It's a he said, she said.
Right.
That was the case all along.
Right.
And he listed, like, well, these three did this. These four have done this. These three deleted their social media profile. Like, but that doesn't, it's not like that covers all the bases.
No.
Like, there's still some of these stories from these women that they don't have an answer for.
Nope.
And that's all it's going to take. And that's what I said. I said this a week or two ago. The reason why they wanted those names so badly is so they could pare this list down to the women that they feel like they should actually have to settle with.
Right, right. And that's all this is about. And that's what's going to happen.
It doesn't make Deshaun look any better.
No.
It just, it makes his wallet stay a little heavier.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's the thing. And it just depends on how many you can actually get rid of. And that's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to get the number down. Then they can settle and try to move on from it. But in the end, 22 people versus one, and his only defense has basically been deny, they're lying, let's attack Tony Busby. Now they're calling the women liars. Okay. All 22 of them are lying. All right. That's your response.
Good luck with that one.
I'm going to go with a simple math equation here because I'm a math guy, although not really. 22 of 22 people, the odds of 22 people lying versus one person lying, especially one really dumb person, they're not very good. I'm sure it's possible, but I ain't buying it.
No.
Somebody else has a girlfriend left him. I'm telling you, in the PR statement he should do, the girlfriend should be sitting right next to him, looking all happy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they didn't. I offered my services. I haven't heard from him. Price has gone up now, Rusty. It's going to cost you $75,000 now because you waited too long. So, JF 288 asks, did either of you hear Biden called Hideki Matsuyama Japanese boy?
No.
No.
Please say that happened.
Oh, yeah. I got to get that dropped.
Let's get him off Twitter, too. Yeah. I want all presidents off Twitter. All presidents who say crazy things off Twitter.
Yeah, come on, Sleepy Joe. Let's see if we can find that, if it's true. Somebody says a girlfriend hasn't left. Yeah, you know what? If she was, if she's going for the big score money wise, good luck.
Yeah,
that money may not be there. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I still think in the end, they'll have a settlement. I'm going to guess probably with about 12 or 13 of these women. And, you know, if the others want to keep pursuing, I think, you know, those will be the cases they feel pretty good about winning. In the end, though, is that, I mean, the NFL can do whatever they want to him. I mean, they suspended Zeke Elliott for 6 games. He didn't do a damn thing.
Nothing.
So he's going to get a suspension. And just from a Texans perspective, you hope somebody's willing to gamble at this point and say, you know what? I think this guy can be a franchise quarterback, and we're going to give up a 1 and a 2 for him. So we're getting him on the cheap. And then he sits out 8 games or 10.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So Dick Willie, has Vegas made odds for the Watson trial? Not yet. I would say settlement is minus 400.
It's a huge favor.
Yeah. I just don't see any way any of them want this to go to trial. So.
I mean, who's it helping? Like, I mean, all it is it's taking a risk that Deshaun certainly doesn't want to take. Because if it goes to trial and he loses, like, you don't go to jail for a year for rape, which is what this will be tried as, a sexual assault or a rape trial.
Well, but I mean, we're talking civil cases right now if this goes to trial, but it there are no criminal cases yet.
No.
I mean, there have been criminal complaints, but you still have to go through the process of determining whether or not there's enough evidence to even take it to trial.
I wonder if some of these women who get shot down in civil will try to take it to criminal.
Yeah, although...
Just to drag it out.
Although I do think that part of the problem with that is most of the events from a criminal perspective only rise to the level of a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do any time for misdemeanor.
Well, the forced oral sex certainly isn't a
misdemeanor. Yeah, but that was also one of the most questionable women.
Right.
Based on...
But I'm saying she may do it just to keep this thing drug out. Oh, you're not going to pay me? Okay. Well, if you're not going to pay me, you're not going to pay me this settlement, then I'll just file a police report. I mean, that's the last thing Deshaun wants is for anything criminal to pop up.
Pop up.
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose, honestly.
I haven't been doing it on purpose either. You know, but you just keep trying to erect an argument and things. Never mind. Let's hear what Sleepy Joe had to say. We got Sleepy Joe.
See, I know how proud you are of the people of Japan are. And you've got a Japanese boy coming over here. And guess what? He won the Masters. He won the Masters. He won the green jacket. And Matsuyama was the first Japanese player to take home that green jacket at the Masters tournament this week. So let me say congratulations, Japan, as well on that feat.
Japan?
Well,
that's not that bad.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, but then they went to the Japanese Prime Minister's face, and he's just standing there like, you know, like, I don't know him, right?
Well,
like, you're telling me that congratulations for doing something? It was a little bit awkward.
Yeah. It's awkward, but it's not as...
No, it wasn't what it was made out to be.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, real offensive. Like, yeah.
That boy is hitting the ball well.
Now, had he said that Japanese boy, that would have been different.
Yes, yeah.
But he said, you have a Japanese boy who came over here and won the Masters.
How old is Matsuyama anyway?
He's like 28. I could be wrong.
29, I think.
And boy doesn't have the same implication with any other race, I think, than it does with black. Like, had he said a black boy won the Masters, that would have been trouble. But that word... Specifically, like if it's going to be offensive, typically it's in regards to a black man. I don't know that Japanese boy has the same doesn't register on the offensive meter as well.
I think if he really wanted to offend him, he'd said something to the effect of, you had
Don't say something crazy here now.
I was going to say,
don't do it. You're getting yourself in trouble.
No,
why?
No, I was quoting what the president would have said to offend him.
You're saying something offensive and saying someone else should have said
that.
Yeah,
I know.
Don't do that.
Not that he should have said it. No, it would have been terrible if he'd have done it.
Yeah, Matsuyama just turned 29 in February.
Okay.
Because, yeah, that's
certainly
part
not
of the-
a boy. 29, you're a grown man. I was hoping, like, maybe he's like, I don't know, maybe he's like 23, like a real young golfer. You. Boy would be less offensive, but yeah, it's probably not great, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything. You ruined my Hiroshima joke. All right,
I saved you.
No,
this time.
You didn't. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And as we promised you at the top of the show, a lot of people wanted us to weigh in on this new European Soccer League. And I'm like, man, listen, I don't quite get what's going on, but I know who does. I will go get the soccer genius of America and the world, Glenn Davis. Glenn, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, guys, it's incredible. The soccer genius of the world. Fred, you know, I've never had an intro like that, but coming from you, thank you. I'm not sure that I can live up to that, and I'm not sure I can live up to the Super League either, but I can give you an opinion on it.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of curious if you could just sort of give us the brief overview of what's happening here, because I think I asked you about this a couple months ago, and you weren't really sure it was going to happen, so it seems like it came together pretty quickly, but kind of tell the people what it is.
Yeah, so it's basically a breakaway of 12 of Europe's top teams. Milan, Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, Barcelona, all these clubs that have these big brands, right? Liverpool, Manchester City. They want to form their own league. They want to only play against each other. There will be no relegation. And obviously they can maximize their profits and make a blank load of money. For me, it strikes of a lot of avariciousness and greed. I guess that's what sports is about now. But soccer around the world has 4 billion fans. And these big teams have followings that are off the charts that we might not always understand here in the States, because these go deeply into Asia and all over the world. So, they would be then pulling out of what is the now UEFA Champions League, okay, which generally is a tournament that starts with 246 teams and ultimately gives us, the European champion, which is a huge deal, as you guys know. So this would be kind of a substitute for that. The governing body of World Soccer and UEFA are trying to stop this. They've already fired some shots across the bow. I don't know how. I don't know if they've just been put out there in the media on purpose that, if these players go and play in this league, they can't play in a World Cup. They won't be able to play in their domestic leagues. So, it's a big money grab. It's avariciousness and greed. We're getting away from the other tiers of the game. And, the elitism continues. And I don't think it's any different from a lot of the way sports is run in the United States. So if you're an authentic kind of guy that doesn't want to see this, it will have a downward trickle and effect on the sport.
Is there something to this? Could be like this league, you'll constantly see better competition. So there won't be teams playing against teams that, they're massive favorites over. Like, this will actually be the best of the best, which, I mean, most sports, that's what you want, is a league where all the best players, all the best teams are in one league. That simplifies everything, and then everything else sort of feeds into that. Could that be this?
Yes, that is absolutely, and I think that's the question you have to ask yourself. Every week, is this what you want? Will this not get homogenized potentially just because of these big clubs? I mean, could it? I don't know. That is the theory of it, though. The theory of it breaking away is exactly what you said. It's the best of the best each and every weekend. But you know what's happened to patience? You know, don't we want to have some teams that maybe have 1/3 the budget or 1/15 the budget of a top team in the league have the opportunity to knock them off? Why would we want to eliminate that from the game totally?
I still think there's enough
high end games with the top teams playing against each other. And by the way, what makes those games interesting? They're interesting because sometimes you just have to wait and be a little bit patient, for God's sake.
Well, I also think that sometimes when ideas like this pop up and these 12 teams think, well, we'll have this Super League. Well, I got news for you. One of those teams is going to finish in 12th place. And what happens when they finish in 12th place 3 years in a row? Do the top six break off and say, we don't need these guys. They stink.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, we're so all over this now. It's so about money and greed. And, you know, I want it taken back to the things that I like, you know, talking about the players, the teams. And I get it. You know what? You get into this thing now, and it really is about money. I mean, do we think Stan Kroenke really owns Arsenal? Because Stan is a big soccer fan. I mean, he has done squat with his team in Colorado, right? They're not relevant in Colorado, yet he's an Arsenal owner. Why did Dan Friedkin of Gulf States Toyota buy Roma? Is it because he's a deep-lying Roma fan, or was this
an investment,
a very carefully researched, incredible investment? And by the way, he spent $746 million or something, right? He's obviously an amazing story, the way they built up Toyota and what they did with Toyota going all in with them in early years. But it's pretty incredible. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, he buys Roma and people are like shaking their head going, that's a guy from Houston? Why didn't he buy the Dynamo? Or why didn't he buy an MLS team? Because obviously he's done his homework. There's more money to be made spending $746 million on Roma somehow.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're mentioning that Roma and like Bayern Munich, these teams aren't on this list of the super teams. Would their quality go down? Would their quality of play be affected by this?
Well, I think that's an interesting statement because Bayern came out very quickly. Yeah, the Bundesliga has pretty much said no to it. Dortmund, Leipzig as well. They don't want to bail on the Bundesliga. The Bundesliga is too important to Germans to bail on it. But you know, the big struggle is going to be with UEFA and FIFA and everybody going scorched earth here, trying to make sure that they have their piece of the action. But there's ego in this, there's narcissism, there's selfishness, and in the words of the UEFA president Alexander Seferin, there are snakes and liars.
I'm a fan of snakes and liars, but
there's a lot of them, man. We're amongst them every day, by the way. Yeah. So don't worry, you're around.
A couple questions though. So basically, in what I've read, there's going to be 15 teams basically that are there all the time, and rumors are there would be two German teams, and then I assume PSG would be the other one, and then they'd have five teams that would get in, that would rotate in basically each year based on performance. I don't know exactly that they've spelled that out yet, but it just sounds like a smaller version of the Champions League to me.
That's exactly what it is, and it's just a more profitable version of it. But then again, you don't get these great stories of teams coming out of nowhere from countries going on great runs. I think you're going to eliminate a lot of things. The money is ridiculous, right? I get the increased financial support. But, you know, is this what we would call a sustainable approach that benefits the overall sport? I would say no, but I don't think anybody cares anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that's where I'm kind of torn, because I, you know, being a novice at this stuff, it does seem like it's bad for the sport overall. But for these, you know, these 12 teams, I could see how it does make some sense for them, and everybody else is mad because it doesn't make any sense for them. It's bad news for them. What I don't like is seeing that UEFA says these if you play for this league, you can't represent your national team. Like, now it seems like that, and I've heard that UEFA overreach is something that happens a lot, but that, I mean, then is there any, if all the best players in the world are playing in this league and UEFA says none of you can play, is the World Cup interesting anymore?
Yeah. I mean, these are all things that are contemplated. Look, here's the thing that bothers me, right? Liverpool, John Henry Group, Boston Red Sox, right? American owners. Always it's, you'll never walk alone. Except when we want to make a boatload of money by going and breaking away and going into this league, right? Manchester United was built on working class people. A lot of these teams were. Barcelona has always put out, you know, one club. We have all this, you know, we're the club that's going to put UNICEF on our jersey and do all these wonderful things. And they're $1.76 billion in debt. So I guess this sounds like a good idea to them and others who have been hit financially by the COVID thing. But, you know, the hypocrisy sometimes just makes you want to put your finger down your throat. Honestly, it does get gross. I mean, at what point do we stop? And you said it. You know, okay, we'll form this league, and then a couple guys 3 years into it, a couple owners and their staffs get together. Okay, we're going to break away and form another league. I mean, is this just part and parcel of what we do now? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you, because you've mentioned several American owners, and this feels like a step towards an American-type setup. Are they kind of responsible for this?
They're not. They don't own all the teams. Listen, I've always said to people that are fans of Manchester United that complain about American ownership, well, why didn't you put together a consortium and protect Manchester United with an English ownership group, right? Real Madrid, their president is a bit of a shady guy, Florentino Perez. He's the guy who's been kind of leading this. By the way, they've got Arsenal and Spurs listed in here. So why do Arsenal and Spurs get in? Because they're founding members or because they're truly the best teams? Because I can tell you, we can find a couple better teams other than Arsenal and Spurs and substitute them out.
But is it really about who's got, I mean, it seems to me it's more about who's got the deeper pockets than who's got the best teams?
Both, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I mean, you know, the Red Sox were terrible last year, but if MLB said we're going to break off our top 10 teams, the Red Sox would certainly be one of them because of fan base size and how deep the pockets are.
Yeah. We can call it the Greed is Good League.
I like it.
Forget the Super League. The Greed is Good League.
Like I said, to me, this makes a lot of sense for the 12 teams that are listed in. I can understand why they're into this. But, I mean, I think back to when the Big 12 kind of broke apart because Nebraska and Texas A&M wanted – the same amount of money that Texas and Oklahoma were getting, and Texas and Oklahoma said, listen, we're bringing in the most money. Why should we share it equally with everybody, people who aren't? I don't know that it's right or wrong. You're right. It is sort of an American type of thing, especially a collegiate American type of thing the last 15 years or so. But I'm interested to see how this thing plays out. Like, I'm not even a soccer watcher, but I'm curious to see if this does – it sort of changed the entire landscape of things.
Oh, you never know what it could do to planting a seed in somebody's mind here in America with the, with some of our professionals.
They need to do that in some of these sports. They need to trim about 8 basketball teams and 8 baseball teams and just make the teams better that we do have to watch. I'm for it.
Yep. It does smack of elitism for sure. I don't think there's any question, but you're right. They're following the money trail, like to the tune of $4.19 billion per team. So it is a bit crazy. But, you know, 70 years of European soccer, 100-year-old, English league and all these provincial teams, how does it trickle down to them? How does it affect them? There's all kinds of things you can contemplate. And the more you look at this, the more – gets crazy, but let the war begin. By the way, if you're somebody who's a Liverpool fan now, are you going to continue to buy their jerseys if you don't agree with them breaking away? Are you going to continue to support them? I don't know. Manchester United, same thing. Are you going to continue to support them? Do you agree with it? Because a lot of fans are really fired up about this. They do not like it, and they were protesting today at the Liverpool Leeds game.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that. So I think this is something that, especially to see how it plays out, because there's talk about, well, you can't be in the Premier League and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's no way that all that would happen. But depending on how this plays out, if nothing else, they're forcing the Champions League out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why UEFA's trying to protect their turf. FIFA's going to do the same thing. And, you know, meanwhile, it's about filling people's pockets. That's first and foremost.
All right, that's Glenn Davis. You'll have Soccer Matters tomorrow night, but you're on in Austin tonight, and I'm sure this will be a big topic there too, right?
This will be a topic in Austin for sure.
How about the Dynamo getting a win?
Big win for the Dynamo on opening day. A couple of great goals, quality goals from Memo Rodriguez and Maxi Arruti. Now it's going to get a little tougher Saturday night. We got the broadcast of them in Portland. They'll take on Portland. But Portland's in the middle of playing in the Champions League as well, so they could be preoccupied with their next game, Club America. So looking forward to seeing what the Dynamo do against the measuring stick of the Portland Timbers. But 3 points at home, that's a good start.
All right, that's Glenn Davis. You can follow him on Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock, and he is El Genio del Futbol del Mundo in my mind. So, Glenn, appreciate you coming on, man.
You guys are unbelievable.
It's always awesome to have you on to talk about stuff that we don't understand a damn thing
about. It's good.
So.
You know, you haven't talked about my niece in 5 years, ever since paper in that room, so it's good. I like you guys better
now. We like to grow, Glenn. We're growing.
You know, you guys have really, we've all matured like fine wines.
That's right. Especially
all
me.
Right. Thank you, guys. Yeah, well, it's good. We didn't have to carry on that young boys Switzerland club conversation. I was really worried about we were doing a sequel to that, so I came in with a little bated breath.
We'll save that for another day, and at least they weren't young Japanese boys.
Oh, Fred, you're gross.
Quick break. It's a blip. Hey, it's a callback to something from earlier in the show.
On that note, I will see you guys next time.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5,
92.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Meals Houston. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra, lunch from Uberito, dinner from BB's Tex Orleans, 18 holes of golf, and a quick socially distant award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. As of this morning, only 5 teams left. Is that correct?
I think there's less than that now.
Okay, so if you want to get in, you better get signed up now. And how about this? The Uberito on Memorial Drive in Kirkwood, which is our lunch sponsor, is raffling 2 free spots to play in the tournament. To enter, go by and put your business card or name in the raffle box. Registration ends on one of the greatest days, 4:20, at the Uberito on Memorial and Kirkwood. So, guys, we're about to sell out. So if you want to play in this thing, you better get your butt signed up. All right. Let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Sorry, I have to go to my phone for this one because a friend of mine texted it to me. I don't know if you're familiar with this place. You've always said you wouldn't go to Brazil, right?
I wouldn't go to Brazil without a Brazilian.
Okay, well, I think this is a place you probably wouldn't go even with a Brazilian. Off the coast of Brazil, there's a beautiful island with tropical weather, rainforests, and a great coastline.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's basically off limits, though.
Because of the murders?
Well, sort of. It's Ilha de Queimado Grande is infested with thousands upon thousands of snakes.
Yep.
Pass. Snake Island.
Pass.
And not just any snakes, like the worst kind, the ones that if they bite you, you're done.
Yeah. Who wants to go there?
Snake Island has so many interesting and scary.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
But real or fake, they, you know what? I'm not going.
No.
I can. I'm
against that
right now. Now, let me just throw this out here. I think I have a perfect idea for Snake Island. You know who should go to Snake Island? Pedophiles.
Oh, I thought you was going to say Aaron.
No, I don't want Aaron going
to
Snake Island.
That seems cruel, but okay. Oh,
yeah, I like Aaron. Pedophiles, seat recliners.
Bad people.
Yeah,
the bad
worst.
Guys.
Listen, the worst.
Yeah, the morning show guys.
Are they the worst?
Yeah. Yeah, none of them are good, I can tell you that.
I never get to listen to them very much because usually that time of morning, you know, if I'm out and I'm taking the wife to work and I'm only in the car for like 5 minutes. So
I do. And you know what? You would have been glad to hear them today because they had a conversation that we've had. So something that they thought of after we did.
Oh, really? Did anybody call them out on it?
No, nobody called them out on it.
What was the conversation?
How many Texans would you recognize out of uniform?
Oh.
Like how many could you walk up to?
That's a fairly obvious one, though.
Yeah, it is. And the answer is not many.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
And poor Marine, we don't want to send Watson to Snake Island.
Can we send Easterby?
Yeah, we could send Easterby. I'm sure some of those masseuses already saw Watson Snake Island. So there's that.
Ow.
I would say yes. Jack Easterby, you can go to Snake Island, sir. Or ma'am. I'm not really sure what he is, to be honest.
He's a man. Come after him. He's a man. He's 40.
Is he?
I don't know. I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing he's over 40, though. He's definitely over 40. No one would get on stage and tell those jokes that he told unless they were over 40.
That's funny right there.
Yeah.
Shout out to the fish.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Oh, I was talking to one of my buddies this weekend. They were like, I'm so tired of that one fish, two fish drop. You got to tell Aaron to stop doing it. It just makes me angry.
One fish, two fish, yeah. Red fish, blue fish.
Yeah, that's like move on guy on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know what? Now I'm staying on this for another half hour.
According to his Wikipedia, he was either born in 82 or 83.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
but they don't have an actual date of birth.
1882.
Imagine that.
He's a Salem witch.
He's younger than I am.
Oh, man. Oof. Shout out to the snakes.
That's funny right there.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can put him on the train to Snake Island. Yeah. We're going to just have to keep adding people to the list.
Who would have thought that?
So pedophiles, seat recliners, Jack Easterby. That's a good start. I'm not ready to put the morning show on there, but that's your call.
Let's put one at a time.
Okay.
I don't know who's the worst. Like, they argue often over who the worst of them is.
Who do you think it is?
It's tough. Lance is a pretty bad person, but it might be John.
Mm. Oh, well. Tell him maybe if you just all drink a Carbach together.
Well, John's not going to drink Carbach. That's the problem.
Okay, then that gives you a winner, right?
That's why he's the bad person.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to drink Carbach on the other side of the break. That's the big win right there. We're drinking it. Yeah, we've got some old school fun series beers coming in, some stuff that you just can't find out on the shelves these days. And we've got it. Yeah, where's the other place to find that stuff? Well, at the brewery, at the restaurant, of course. If you want some beers that you won't be able to find anywhere else in the whole wide world, they've got them there at the Carbach Restaurant and Brewery. Some barrel-aged stuff, some old-school stuff that you probably thought was just totally gone. Well, there may be a little bit left for you there. On top of it, you can have a fantastic meal. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Great food, obviously great beers. And if you're not into beers, well, they got the ranch water now. And ranch water is selling like hotcakes, Bubba. They've got the agave lime, the Meyer lemon, the watermelon, and the prickly pear. All of them delicious, and all of them under 2 carbs a piece. How about that, guys? Check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See what the latest goings on are with the brewery. And when you're out and about, ask your bartender for a Carbach.
It just takes some time, little girl, in a little hop, the ride, everything.